The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
808 proceeding through the day after Christmas here, Boxing Day, as you heard in the news. And I got to be delicate how I say this because I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm watching the game yesterday, the Kansas City game on Netflix, and Harrison Butker, the Chiefs kicker, is kicking off in his white pants. And I don't know what happened, what's changed. I don't know, but it was apparent that he wasn't wearing the necessary support undergarments. Let's put it that way. Now, here we are on Christmas Day, for God's sake. The whole family's watching on Netflix. And this guy's got the family jewels on display as he kicks off. Now, I can't believe that a simple supporter would have limited his kicking ability at all. And from what was apparent on at least the Vizio TV I was watching, you know, this wasn't the biggest scepter that any king has ever waved. So these NFL players, maybe just put on the stuff that you need and protect yourself and don't expose us to all of that, please. And I wasn't looking closely. It was just like, what the hell? What is? We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Jason Williams here on WWL. It is currently 8:13 on this day after Christmas, Boxing Day, as you heard in the news in Canada. I hope Christmas was very nice for you. And eventually we're going to talk to Jason Williams, hopefully, about last year and 2025 moving forward. Weather today, I can tell you, foggy start, a dense fog advisory in effect until 10:45. And as I peer through the window here, it would appear as though, at least in the CBD, the fog is lifted. Can't speak for the suburban areas. Highs today of 69, 76 tomorrow. Boy, that's warm for the end of December. 60% chance for showers, 74 on Saturday, 70% chance for rain. Highs of 69 on Sunday with a 30% chance for showers, and that needs to end early because I'm playing golf on Sunday at Money Hill, and I'd hate to disappoint the paying spectators. 73 for a high Monday, New Year's Eve, 40% chance for showers, highs in the mid-70s, and then the new year starts off cool and clear, highs of 60 on New Year's Day, then 55, 57, and 53 through Saturday. Jason Williams joins us now, New Orleans District Attorney. I'm proud to say this man's a friend, and also I'm proud of the work he's done as District Attorney. How you doing, Jason?
Doing fine, Tommy. How are you? Hope you had a great holiday.
And you too, sir. We are friends, are we not?
We are. Good. We absolutely are. And I'm also a fan. I listen even when the topic is not in my bailiwick.
And right back at you. And matter of fact, I want to talk to you about some charges. No, I'm just kidding. I have no charges. Tell me about, first of all, and I always ask you about your mom, and I am concerned because you were a victim of a carjacking. And your mom, how's she doing and how was Christmas for her?
You know, it's funny, Thomas. She was doing really good, but she left before 5 o'clock, before we got to Christmas dinner, because she was parked in the same spot she was when it all happened. It was dark outside, and you know, the holidays bring up a well of emotion. Sometimes it's not very specific or rational. And, you know, she skipped the holiday meal because she'd just rather be in her home before night falls. And that's just part of the process of going through tough things. But I do appreciate you every single time I see you. You bring her up, and I tell her that. And I think that keeps people going.
Well,
you know?
She's in my prayers, as are you, as is every victim of crime. And also, I got to tell you, the juveniles that are in trouble or at risk in the juvenile justice system of being in trouble, because I am a Christian, and I think it goes both ways, right? You got to pray for everybody. I'm not trying to preach here. I'm just saying.
No, and absolutely. Even when people do horrible things and they need to spend the rest of their lives in jail, that doesn't stop you from being compassionate and thinking about their families who did not make a decision. I mean, that is what God and Jesus shows us.
Let me just pick your brain here, as friend to friend, about the commutation of Len Davis's sentence, because I think it goes to the nature of the death penalty itself. And when I heard from the, it escapes me, who was the victim, Jason?
Kim Groves.
Her family, they said that they were happy, actually, because they wanted Len Davis spend the rest of his life in jail and wake up every morning thinking about what happened, what he did to their mother and to their family. And that begs the question to me about capital punishment, which is the worst punishment. Is it, in a way, giving somebody the easy way out and putting a needle in their arm, or is it having them spend the rest of their life in jail? Your thoughts on the commutation of Len Davis as either Jason Williams or as District Attorney Jason Williams?
So I can tell you, just as City Council President Jason Williams, I got to meet Kim Groves' daughter and family, and they've always been very clear about that. Before Joe Biden was ever president, they wanted a life sentence because they thought it was harsher, and they wanted him to think about it and live it, because they had to think about and live it, the loss that he caused. You know, he is as guilty as he always was. He will spend the rest of his life in jail. I reach out to survivors and next of kin because I want to hear from them. And you hit the nail on the head. That's what they've asked for. I know a lot of other people think they can speak for other people, but this family did not see that as didn't see that as the ultimate penalty. They saw life as ultimate penalty. And that's a debate that this country will probably be having for a number of years. I can tell you, though, that the grandson of Kim Groves found himself in a lot of trouble dealing with a lot of things. And I can't help but just wonder, going back to your earlier point, if Len Davis had not ordered that hit on his grandmother, his life would have been very different. He had a very different relationship with violence. And we need to start talking about the big picture, is the impacts that these decisions or these horrible things can have on the family members that we don't even consider true victims of violence in our community. Just like a child at the scene of a domestic violence scene, there's sometimes not even the police report. But we know that the children who are in the homes of this domestic violence are more prone to find themselves in cycles of it on either side of that violence.
Yeah, and you know, Jason, it goes to me to life is a motion picture. It's not a snapshot. You just can't take one picture and say, well, look at what the situation is. You got to go back and see what happened. You know, making a novel, whatever you not novel, a work, a history, whatever. You got to go back and see what happened before that to lead to this. What do the stats show about death penalty and deterrence? Because I know the first debate I ever had to prepare for was about capital punishment. And even back then, and this was back, you know, as I approach 50, this was way back in high school. And At that time, they had instances of hanging pickpockets in England in the 1700s. And the problem was with public executions at hanging pickpockets, they had a hell of a problem with pickpocketing while they were hanging pickpocketers. So talk about that. Seriously, that's a true story. So tell me the deterrence factor.
I'm laughing because no matter the country, no matter the type of execution, whether it was Old Sparky, whether it was hangings, whether it was lethal injection, we have seen all sorts of crimes skyrocket at the height of executions. And so the data has been very, very clear that if the goal is to deter certain types of crimes, execution is not proven in this country or any other country to be a deterrent. Now, there's a lot of other conversations about the reasons it's existed and why we have it and if we should keep it or if we shouldn't. And there's legislators that will continue to have that conversation. But I can tell you from a data standpoint, it has not made us safer. And we should be really smart about it because it costs us a whole lot of money to keep somebody on death row all those years, all of the appeals, all of the, as opposed to, for example, the Joseph Washington case, that defendant, and everything was on the table, but that defendant pled guilty at arraignment to a life sentence, which is going to save that family from years and years of coming back to court and motion hearings and trials and legal maneuvering. So there is some families really just want to move on with their lives as fast as they can. They do not want to learn everything about the law because of the type of penalty that was sought. They want accountability, and there's all sorts of accountability.
And now Joseph Washington was the man that set the house on fire with his three kids in it, and the woman that was an accomplice got 4 years, right, for driving him away?
Absolutely right. And you're going to start seeing more of that in terms of anyone who plays any role in supporting, harboring, aiding, abetting crimes, providing weapons before a crime was committed, whether it be a mother, a father, a sister, anybody. Because as a culture, we've got to reset and get our heads back wrapped around the fact that it is us, it's New Orleanians, against shooters, against violence. There is no compassion or aiding and abetting or harboring that can happen, because then you're on the wrong side of the law. So in the Joseph Washington case, you saw that. You're going to see that in the case of the second line shooter as well. And I think the community is starting to get it. The community has been really reaching out and providing a lot of information about folks who are helping people commit crimes or protecting them after they've done it.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Look ahead to 2025. District Attorney Jason Williams is our guest. 823 Traffic Now, WWL. 828 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Never enough time with Jason Williams, DA. Jason, tell me, as you look ahead to 2025, what are you most optimistic about?
I'm most optimistic about the season of growing collaborations and partnerships. And you think about 2023, we were the murder capital of the country, and the partnerships we were able to build with international experts, former CIA, NSA workers to help incapacitate a select number of violent offenders in this community and build strong cases. Double down. Right around this time last year, I was meeting with the governor and his inner cabinet about hopefully getting more state police here for a longer period. That has morphed and evolved into a permanent state troop with the amazing Captain Hyatt. Our work with the ATF and the FBI to strategically go after certain areas of crime, and with our No Dice program, getting city departments to help us shut down problematic spaces like the London Lodge and New Image Market. So like all of these collaborations have really sort of set up a comprehensive master plan that ties prevention and prosecution into a single strategy. And it's really firing on all cylinders. The governor's committed to it. The attorney general's committed to it. ATF, FBI, DEA, state police are all doing their part. Colonel Hodge was down at the Superdome with every single person almost in the city working on what our strategy is in this area moving forward. So I think the new technologies with Project NOLA tied into everything that we do, and with the state. And then we really set ourselves up that this is bigger than any one person, any one agency. There's no cult of personality. Crime continues to go down here in the city more than anywhere else. So we're going to double down on these things. We're going to shut down some other problematic areas so that we're going after the people that are committing the worst offenses. But we're also making it tougher for people to create new offenses and really zeroing in on the things that matter most to the people in the community.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you, man. I really do. Have a great, happy new year, and tell Mom hello.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, Tommy.
Thank
Enjoy.
You. You too. Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney, 8:31, minute late, time for WWL First News. Making our way through this Thursday morning and talking to Jason Williams just now about the death penalty and the commutation of Len Davis's sentence, which did outrage me when I heard about it, because that is the worst of the worst, right? You're a cop and you set up a witness against you in order to hit. I have to go back and review the story to see why they had him on tape ordering it and they weren't able to prevent it, but I'm sure there's a reasonable excuse for that or a reason for it. But when you think about the death penalty in its current form, it is not a deterrent. Now you can say, well, you got to move it up and speed it up. You can do that just thinking it through here, but then you increase the chance of executing the wrong person. And then there's the religious aspect of it. And I know as a Christian, I should be against the death penalty because killing is wrong, right? But I got to thinking about, well, if there is an afterlife and there is hell, well, the guy's going to spend, or the woman, whoever it is that's on death row or sentenced to death, is going to spend eternity in hell anyway, right? But if there's not, then all you're doing is putting them to sleep as you would an animal. And that, if you think about it, is the most merciful thing you could do to an animal. So if you really want to punish somebody for a crime, then it would seem as though to err on the side of punishment, for want of a better phrase, you want to give them life in prison. Because if there is an afterlife, hell will be there and they'll spend eternity there. If there's not, why would you do the merciful thing and put them to sleep? Think about it. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Saints with Steve Geller, taking on the Raiders Sunday in the Dome. Tommy Tucker, back in a flash, WWL. All right, 8:45, quarter till 9, Sunday in the Dome. The Raiders against the Rattler. Or not, I don't know. Steve Geller joins us now, WWL Sports Director. How you doing, Steve?
Doing well, Tommy. Hope you are, too.
I am. How was Christmas for you and the fam?
Always a good time. Enjoyed the Netflix doubleheader and got to enjoy some good grub with all the family.
There you go. I saw a Facebook post of you and a dog. What kind of dog is that?
He's a mix between a beagle and a lab.
What's his name?
Rex.
Rex. Well, I got to tell you what, Steve loves his dog. You can see that on Facebook. And the dog's beard looks just like mine, which is weird.
Yeah, it's funny when you look past photos, you see like the baby growing up, and obviously now looks like an older man with a beard. Just 5 years old, but yeah, a lot of gray hair for the mutt.
What the hell does that mean, older man?
Well, I got him too, so believe me.
Well, you need to get him some Just for Dog, because that Just, for,
exactly
just
right.
for Men takes that gray away from me. Let's talk about the Saints and the Packers game first before we look ahead to the Raiders. Oof. That was just... You know, I love the Saints. I love everybody over there. I love us being partners with them, but that was just embarrassing. I don't know what other word to use.
No, that was a tough one. And right from the get, you know, the Packers came out and flexed their muscles and just dominated you all the way around. First opening drive, you know, got a touchdown, got the ball again, another touchdown. And from that point on, you just felt any kind of air being let out the balloon there in Green Bay, and guys having to deal with the temperatures and being on the road against one of the best teams in the NFL wasn't easy. And there was really maybe one or two plays that you can take a positive from. There wasn't a whole lot to brag about in that matchup.
Speaking of Deratla, is he going to start or is it going to be Jake Haner?
If it is not Derek Carr, it will be Spencer Rattler again. They're sticking with him at the starting quarterback. But obviously the We're waiting to find out this week more about Derek Carr's situation. They're still not ruling him out to play against his old team on Sunday. We'll find out a little bit more today when we finally get an initial injury report. Yesterday's practice report that came out was just an estimated what they would have done at practice because there was no workout yesterday at the facility being Christmas Day. But they'll be back at it today, and we'll see if maybe Carr can at least be limited. He's cleared the concussion protocol. That's not the problem right now. It's obviously the fractured left hand. How much pain, how much can he deal with, and will the snap, you know, getting the snap from the center be able to function and grip a ball? It's just going to be curious to see how this all works out. But the black and gold are definitely banged up up front, too. I don't know if Carr wants to come back.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room. It's out there. It's political. It's got nothing to do with X's and O's or between the lines. But if Derek Carr were to start and the Saints lose, he would be the only quarterback in NFL history to lose to all 32 teams. Does that enter
into
this?
Yeah, not a title you want.
No, not really. Does that enter into this at all, you think?
I don't think so. You know, I'm surprised the Saints have even been considering putting Carr back in, thinking about their situation right now, obviously eliminated from the playoffs. I don't expect a guy like Alvin Kamara to be in action this week, even though he still wants to come back too. But for Carr's sake, I mean, also you're dealing with last game against the Packers, the center, Eric McCoy, suffered an elbow injury. I don't think he's going to be coming back this season, although Darren Rizzi said that the center does not need surgery, so that's a positive. But the outlook for him, not so great these final two games. And a guy that won't be coming back is your left guard in Lucas Patrick, who is dealing with a knee issue. So two starting offensive linemen down for this matchup, and the O-line we know has been a big issue. So I don't know if Carr wants the chance getting hurt even further.
I think at this point you have to do what puts you in the best position for next year, and I don't see how Derek Carr playing does that. I don't see how Alvin Kamara playing does that. And I'm not saying you tank for a draft choice. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think you do maybe take the opportunity in a real NFL game, not a preseason game, where you presume the Raiders could be doing everything they can do to win, to evaluate Spencer Rattler or Jake Haener and see – or other players at other positions, although the younger players have been playing because the Saints have been decimated by injuries, just to see what you got and make your decisions from there, right?
Yeah, for you and me, it definitely seems logical to approach it that way. And for Coach Rizzi, I know he's trying to win a job. And obviously last game wasn't really the best note for your resume. In that game, the team just looked overmatched all the way around. But for him, he wants, obviously, Carr to be in that lineup because it gives him and the team a best chance of victory. Also, a guy like Alvin Kamara. But I'm with you in the fact that, you know, this season was sadly a wasted year because of all the injuries that this team had. And just at this point, you're not giving up and waving the white flag, but putting the guys out there that are fully healthy and ready to go for you. I don't see why you would risk a Carr or a Kamara for these games.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. There is, I think if there was any consideration at all, and I got nothing against the man at all. He seems like a very nice man, does Darren Rizzi. But after Monday night, there's no way that he comes back as head coach. I don't think so. You can tell me when we come back. Talking to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director, 851, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 854, 6 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our sports director, Steve Geller. And let me just say this, as one of the, as we were kidding around before, gray beards around here until I get out the Just for Men. One of the enjoyable things is to see the development and growth of Steve Geller and to watch some of the younger talent come in. And Steve, you're one of the, if not the best sports director I can remember that we've had. So congratulations and kudos for that. You do a tremendous job. You really do, and I'm proud of you.
You are too kind. That Christmas bonus is getting bumped up even more for you.
No, I'm serious, man. I mean that sincerely. You know how I feel about you and the conversations we've had and so forth. Let's talk about as far as growth goes, when it comes to Darren Rizzi, and again, look, he seems like a nice man, but The only thought I had after Monday night was there's no way. He has to know after Monday night that there's no way he's a new head coach of the Saints. Who are they looking for? What are you hearing? Is there any buzz on the street?
There was some buzz during that Monday night game. Adam Schefter, ESPN's NFL insider, was reporting that the Saints had interest in Aaron Glenn, the former New Orleans Saint, and was also now the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, and also former Tennessee Titans head coach and Patriots linebacker Mike Vrabel are the two names that Schefter brought up. Some of the other names that are in the mix, according to oddsmakers at least, you have Joe Brady. We know him, obviously, from his LSU days. Also was a Saints assistant for a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's also the offensive coordinator currently for the Buffalo Bills. He's got the top odds right now at 3-1 to be the Saints' next head coach. Under that, you got Ben Johnson, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator. And also, I mentioned, you know, Rizzi's in the mix, Aaron Glenn, Mike Vrabel, all the top odds have the top odds at least right now when you're looking at things to go in that direction. I'd be surprised, though, wouldn't be surprised, I mean, if they look at some of, you know, some young talent that really, either an offensive or defensive coordinator trying to make their way, kind of like, obviously, they had success back in the day with Sean Payton.
But Joe Brady, what's his name? Yeah, Joe Brady would fit that bill, would he not? I mean, he was at LSU, and then, the Saints, he was the Saints quarterback, then LSU poached him, right? Then he went on, and he is a coordinator now. He's never been a head coach, has he?
No, hasn't been a head coach.
And he's offensive-minded, is he not?
Correct. Definitely would be someone that would bring you would still be looking for a defensive coordinator. I would guess, obviously, with Joe Brady on board, you're not keeping someone like Clint Kubiak. So there's definitely a lot of questions that going into the offseason on what this franchise is going to do. How many sweeping changes do they make? Because, there's so much uncertainty right now with the staff going into next year, not knowing who your head coach is. You're going to want to be whoever it is, bringing in your own people. So even a guy like Clint Kubiak, I don't think is safe from what could be happening with this franchise.
And talking about Aaron Glenn and Greybeard, not to talk about him specifically, but I would prefer not to see. I would prefer to see Joe Brady. I'm not trying to be age discriminatory here. I'd like to see, he's 35. I'd like to see some young blood brought in. But after watching the Packers game Monday night, it was hard not to have a feeling that, man, a broom needs to come in and clean out a lot of different spaces. So I guess, Steve, my question to you is how deeply is that broom likely to sweep?
Yeah, that's a big one. And a lot of folks have been calling for Mickey Loomis's head in all this madness, too, because of what they've done with the cap, how they've acquired some talent via the draft hasn't worked out. I will remind everybody, too, in this game, you didn't have Alvin Kamara.
No.
There's no Taysom Hill.
I get all that. I know.
So it's tough, but, you know, nobody wants to hear all of that, obviously.
Steve, to be fair, you also can't rule out that you didn't have Taysom Hill, you didn't have Derek Carr, you didn't have Alvin Kamara for some early games, when you didn't have Eric McCoy when you desperately needed them early after the fast start that they got off to.
No, I know. It's just this season has been a bunch of unfortunate events for this team that has culminated into this awful ending to a year. And, I'm not sure if the team really wants to make that big of a changes with your general manager. I don't think that Rizzi's going to end up retaining that job as a head coach. Like you mentioned, it wasn't a good final interview, you could say, going into that Green Bay game. But going forward, yeah, I think you kind of have to wipe a slate pretty much clean right now.
Thank you, Steve.